I hurried over to her and grabbed her arm, dragging her back towards the door leading down to my lab. "Get down there," I shouted, jerking the door up and revealing a folding ladder staircase. "It's dark," Susan protested. "Oh, God," she blinked down at my waist. "Harry, why are you naked?" I looked down and blushed. The towel must have fallen off while I was dancing around. Looking down me, the shampoo suds still in my hair runneled down into my eyes, making them sting and burn. Could this evening get any worse? There was a tearing sound from the doorway, and the toad demon sort of surged forward, a stumbling step. It was now in my house, lightning still dancing in the sky behind it, and I could see it only in ugly, hunched-backed outline, except for the electric light of its wide, round, googly eyes as it came toward me. Its throat was working in little, undulating motions. "Crap," I said. I'm quite eloquent in times of crisis. I shoved Susan towards the stairs and turned toward the demon, tips of my fingers touching, fingers spread, palms out towards it. The demon's mouth opened again, and it made a slick, spittooning sound. "Vento refletum," I shouted, willing my fear and anxiety into a tangible shape, throwing it down from my pounding heart through my shoulders and arms, directing it at the foe. The globule of demon acid sped towards my face. My terror and adrenaline roared out of my fingertips in the form of wind, gathering up speed enough to tear the hair from a man's head. It caught the blob of acid and flung it back at the demon in a fine spray, stopped the thing in its tracks, and even drove it back several feet, its claw-tipped feet sliding on my smooth floor, catching on the rugs. The acid sizzled and spat little electric blue sparks on its skin, but it didn't seem to harm the demon. It did, however, dissolve the trench coat into shreds in less time than it takes to draw a breath and wreaked havoc on my rugs and furniture. The demon shook its head, gathering its wits. I turned to the far corner, near the door, and extended my hand, trumpeting, "Vento servitas!" The pale, smooth wood of my wizard's staff all but glowed in the darkness as it flew towards me, driven by a gentler, finer blast of the same wind. I caught it in my hand and spun towards the demon, calling on the lines of power and force deep within the long, unbroken grains of the wood in the staff. I extended the staff towards it, horizontally like a bar, and shouted, "Out! Out! Out! You are not welcome here!" A touch dramatic in any other circumstance, maybe, but when you've got a demon in your living room, nothing seems too extreme. The toad demon hunched its shoulders, planted its broad feet, and grunted as a wave of unseen force swept out from my staff like a broom whisking along the floor. I could feel the demon resisting me, pressing against the strength of the staff as though I were leaning the wood against a vertical steel bar and attempting to snap it across the length. We strained, silently for several seconds until I realized that this thing was just too strong for me. I wasn't going to be able to brush it off like a minor imp or a niggling poltergeist. It wouldn't take me long to exhaust myself, and once the demon could move again, it was either going to dissolve me with its acid or else just waddle up to me and rip me to pieces. It would be stronger than a mortal, a hell of a lot faster, and it was not going to stop until I was dead, or the sun came up, or one of any of a number of other unlikely conditions were met. "Susan," I shouted, my chest heaving, "are you down there?" "Yes," she said. "Is it gone?" "Not exactly, no." I felt my palms get sweaty, and the smooth wood of the staff begin to slip. The burning of the soap suds in my eyes increased, and the light of the demon's eyes brightened.
"Why don't you set it on fire? Shoot it. Blow it up."
Her voice had a searching quality to it, as though she were looking around, down there in the lab.
"I can't," I said to her. "I can't pump enough juice into it to hurt the thing without blowing us up along with it. You've got to get out of there."
My mind was racing along, calculating possibilities, numbers, my reserves of energy, cold and rational. The thing was here for me. If I drew it off to one side, into my bedroom or bathroom, Susan might be able to escape. On the other hand, it might be under orders to kill me and any witnesses, in which case, after it finished me, it would simply go after her as well. There had to be another way to get her out of here, and then I remembered it.
"Susan," I shouted, "there's a sports bottle on my table down there. Drink what's in it and think about being away from here, okay? Think about being far away." "I found it," she called up a second later. "It smells bad." "Damn it, it's a potion. It'll get you out of here. Drink it."
There was a gagging noise, and then a moment later she said,
"Now what?"
I blinked and looked at the stairs going down. It should have worked. I broke off as the toad thing leaned forward, reaching out a clawed foot, and in that stride gained 3 feet of ground toward me. I was able to stop it again, barely, but I knew that it was going to be coming for my throat in a few more seconds.
"Nothing happened," she said. "Damn it, Harry, we have to do something."
And then she came pounding up the ladder, dark eyes flashing, my .38 revolver in her hand.
No, I told her, don't!
I felt the staff slip more. The demon was getting ready to come through all my defenses. Susan raised the gun, face pale, her hands shaking, and started shooting. The .38 Chief's Special carries 6 rounds, and I use a medium-speed load rather than armor-piercing or explosive bullets or anything fancy like that. Fewer chances that something will go wrong in the presence of a lot of magic. A gun is a pretty simple machine. A revolver approach is very simple. Wheels, gears, and a simple lever. Impact to ignite the powder. It's tough for magic to argue with physics, most of the time. The revolver roared 6 times. The first 2 shots must have gone wide and hit somewhere else. The next 2 struck the demon's hide and made deep dents in it before springing off and rebounding wildly around the room, as I had feared they would. More of a threat to us than to it. Fortunately, neither of us were injured or killed by the ricochets. The 5th shot went between its long, oddly shaped legs and past it. The 6th hit the thing square between its lightning lantern eyes, knocking it off balance and sent it tumbling over with a toady hiss of frustration. I gasped and grabbed Susan's wrist. Basement, I wheezed, as she dropped the gun. We both scrambled down the ladder. I didn't bother to shut it behind me. The thing could just tear its way through the door if it needed to. This way, I would at least know where it was coming down, rather than have it tunnel through the floor and come down on top of my head. At my will, the tip of the staff I held burst into light, illuminating the room.
Harry?
Bob's voice came from the shelf. The skull's eyelights came on, and he swiveled his face to me.
What the hell is going on?
Who's the babe? Susan jumped.
What was that?
Ignore him, I said, and followed my own advice. I went to the far end of my lab table and started kicking boxes, bags, notebooks, and old paperbacks off the floor.
Help me clear this floor space. Hurry.
She did, and I cursed the lack of cleaning skills that had left this end of the lab such a mess. I was struggling to get to the circle I had laid in the floor, a perfect ring of copper, an unbroken loop on the concrete that could be empowered to hold a demon in or out.
Hurry, Bob gulped as we worked. There's, a seriously badass toad demon coming down the ladder.
I know that, Bob. I heaped a bunch of empty cardboard boxes aside as Susan frantically tossed some papers away, exposing the entirety of the copper ring about 3 feet across. I took her hand and stepped into the circle, drawing her close to me.
What's happening?
Susan asked, her expression bewildered and terrified. Just stay close, I told her. She clung tightly to me.
It sees you, Harry, Bob reported. It's going to spit something at you, I think.
I didn't have time to see if Bob was right. I leaned down, touched the circle with the tip of my staff, and willed power into it to shut the creature out. The circle sprung around us, a silent and invisible tension in the air. Something splattered and hissed against the air a few inches from my face. I looked up to see dark, sputtering acid slithering off the invisible shield the circle's power provided us. Half a second earlier, it would have eaten my face off, Cheery thought. I tried to catch my breath, stand straight, and not let any part of me extend outside the circle, which would break its circuit and negate its power. My arms were shaking, my legs were weak. Susan, too, was visibly trembling. The demon stalked over to us. I could see it clearly in the light of my staff. I wished that I couldn't. It was horribly ugly, misshapen, foul, heavily muscled, and I compared it to a toad, only because I knew of nothing else that even remotely approached a description of it. It glared at me and drove a fist at the circle's shield. It rebounded in a shower of blue sparks, and the thing hissed a horrible and windy sound. Outside, the storm continued to rumble, muffled by the thick walls of the sub-basement. Susan was holding close to me and almost crying.
Why isn't it killing us? Why isn't it getting us?
It can't, I said gently. It can't get through. It can't do anything to break the circle. So long as neither of us crosses that line, we'll be safe.
Oh, God, Susan said. How long do we have to stand here?
Dawn, I said, until dawn. When the sun rises, it has to go.
There's no sun down here, she said. Doesn't work that way.
It's got a sort of a power cord stretching back to whoever summoned it, a fuel line. As soon as the sun comes up, that line is cut, and he goes away like a balloon with no air.
When does the sun come up? She asked.
Oh, well, about 10 more hours.
Oh, she said.
She laid her head against my bare chest and closed her eyes. The toad demon paced in a slow circuit around the circle, searching for a weakness in the shield. It could find none. I closed my eyes and tried to think.
Harry, Bob began. Not now, Bob. But Harry,
Bob tried again.
Damn it, Bob, I'm trying to think. If you want to be really useful, you can try to figure out why the escape potion you were so confident of didn't work for Susan.
Harry, Bob protested, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Susan murmured against my chest. Is it getting warm in here, or is it just me? A terrible suspicion struck me. I looked down at Susan and got a sinking feeling. Surely not, no. It couldn't be. She looked up at me, her dark eyes smoky.
We're going to die, aren't we, Harry? Have you ever thought you want to die making love?
She kissed my chest, almost absently. It felt nice. Really, really nice. I tried not to notice all the bare, lovely back that was naked underneath my hand.
I've thought that many times, she said, against my skin.
I shivered. Bob, I began, my voice getting furious.
I tried to tell you, Bob wailed. I did. She grabbed the wrong potion and just chugged it down.
Bob's skull turned toward me a bit. The lights brightened.
You've got to admit, though, the love potion works great.
Susan was kissing my chest and rubbing her body up against me in a fashion that was unladylike and extremely pleasant and distracting.
Bob, I swear I'm going to lock you in a wall safe for the next 200 years.
It's not my fault, Bob protested. The demon watched what was happening in the circle with froggy eyes and kicked a section of the floor clear enough of debris for it to squat down on its hunches and stare, restless and ready as a cat waiting for a mouse to stick its head out of its hole. Susan stared up at me with sultry eyes and tried to wrench me to the floor and consequently out of the circle's protective power. Bob continued to wail his innocence.
Who says I don't know how to show a lady a good time?